All is well in the world. Shing ding ding. Well, let's dive into chapter 4 here a little bit tonight. I don't know, some of these chapters are longer or shorter than others. Chapter 4. What was last week? What did we talk about last week? We went through Bible passages, scripture passages on the bliss. Some people don't think this drunkenness is in the Bible. And they're wrong. So. So we went through that last week. It's actually been really fun. I've been so excited to do this series because, you know, we get a lot of questions about this stuff. And it's probably the number one question we get. Like, people are like, I want to feel really, really good. Like, you guys say that you do. I don't know. Do I believe it? A lot of people are asking those kind of questions, you know, people that are new to it. But then also, like, people that have been in it for a while, I wrote the High on God book to just kind of to flesh it out a bit, you know, to give it, like, there's a lot to this thing. It's not just a little side dish. It's not just, it's not shallow, but there's a substance to the bliss. It's been, you know, I believe this has been the normal state of consciousness that God intended for us. From the beginning, as we talked about last week, was Eden bliss, was union bliss, like to live that as a lifestyle. And I've met so many people that would maybe experience it at a conference or experience it for a year or even 5 years, but then get sidetracked because they either thought it was just kind of this high experience that was separate from love, or they thought it was this experience that didn't need to have any theology, or it wasn't based in Jesus. It was just kind of this, you know, you see people go into like a new age type of bliss, because there's a lot of new agers that love ecstasies and stuff like that. And we've seen cults arise, you know, out of, oh, we're all high, we're so high, we're higher than everybody else, and it's a competition, or we're super spiritual. Our leader is the only one that really knows how to get high. You know, there's so many like little, you know, sidetracks we've seen in this thing. And so my heart, when I wrote this, we'd been drunk for like 12 years by the time we started writing this, or maybe 10 years when we started, I don't know. And I was like, let's put out something that can be a resource for years to come. So every chapter is really fun. Last week we went through scriptures. This week it's the theological chapter, chapter 4. Yay. It's sourced in the gospel. This whack is sourced in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just because you know a few Bible verses, most of us actually still just believe the stuff that we grew up with. Honestly, most people, if you ask them what they believe, they took it from whatever was kind of popular either with their family or with their friends. That's normally where people source, you know, the main things that they believe about life and reality. They just got by osmosis and never really looked into it for themselves. A lot of people are scared of theology, or I think the number one reason people say they don't like theology, well, one is because there's dry toast theologians out there that aren't whacked and never see anything supernatural or anything fun, and they just have a sour look on their face all the time. They're like, yes, brother, well, you're wrong, and I'm right, and I'm so right that my life is depressing and boring, and I look like I want to beat up people. But the other reason is, I think people don't like theology. A lot of times people don't like theology because it is different, and they don't ever want to be challenged. You know, I'll meet people all the time. They'll be like, "I don't have a theology," or "I don't like theology." And when you talk to them, though, they're spouting theology to you left and right. But to them, they just assumed it was true for so long that to them, it's not theology. To them, it's just reality. Like, it's just so normal to them that they're like, "Oh, I don't like theology." Then you talk to them for like, you know, an hour. And they're telling you theological stuff left and right, like, but they don't think it's theology because they just, it's basically what they grew up with, or what their favorite, whoever they respect said it, They believed it. They never thought it through. So that didn't it didn't take any time for them to like think about it. So they're like, well, I didn't have to think much about it. So obviously I don't care about theology. It's like, it's so nuts. I mean, I've always been one of those people. I'm like, I want to know what's real. Like, I really care about reality. Like, it matters to me. It's so funny that 90% of the people you meet, like, just never thought through reality. They're just, and I get it. You know, there's so much stuff just going in your day to day. Like, you're just busy. You know, people are just busy taking care of their kids or, you know, working their job or whatever. But they don't ever stop and just take time and contemplate and just sit, you know. And so, anyway, we're going to dive into chapter 4. And I start out chapter 4 by saying, you know, this stuff came to me while I was in experiences. And I think you can't separate theology from experience. If it's separate from experience, it's not theology at all. Paul would call it, you know, he'd have a doxology. Almost every one of his epistles, he explodes into a doxology, which actually means a study of the glory. Or he'd be just glorying in what was going on, glorying in the truths that he was discovering. And it would have never occurred to him to have these ideas that we have of like, experience is over here and theology is over here. Like, that would never occur to him. He said, knowing God is eternal life and knowing Jesus Christ. So anyway, I'm excited to dive into this. If you have your little High on God books, you can jump in. If you don't, I'm just going to put it up on the screen and we're going to talk about ching ding ding. We're going to talk about essentially Christology. We talk about Jesus and how Jesus is the foundation of the bliss. Jesus. Well, let's put this up here. If you like story time, just find a little comfortable spot. We're going to read these over you like a story. Ziggy, ziggy, zing. Chapter 4 of High on God, A High View of Theology. Woo, you guys ready? Let me just start this chapter by saying that this stuff came to me while I was high. I mean, high on the glory of God, of course. That may sound funny, but it's true. And worth mentioning here, I think some people get the revelation and understanding first and then the experience. Others seem to have the experience first and then the revelation. Maybe they both really come at the same time. I'll be honest with you. I am still learning. I do want to be as transparent as possible about this stuff so as to be helpful for others who are on a similar journey of awakening. I certainly haven't got it all figured out yet. Anybody else say that? I haven't got it all figured out. Woo! Yay! However, I do recognize that there are way too many quote-unquote theologians out there teaching by merely quoting information regarding God and spiritual life, and it's only material they've read or heard from others. There are many voices out there spouting knowledge without experience. Also, it's unfortunate that many are speaking in the name of God, yet their revelation is not coming with love or humility. This definitely doesn't make their cause very appealing. It's made multitudes of folks around the world close to even hearing about God at all. This is a big problem. Big problem. Knowledge can puff up, but love builds up. Amen. Woo! 1 Corinthians 8:1. Love builds us up. Hey. In the same way, there are far too many quote-unquote spiritual people having experiences that are just based on psychoses or empty imaginations. I hate to have to say that, as I am a part of a community of mystics and those pushing the envelope of experiential spirituality, I've seen this also happen many times. Huh? I find myself hanging out with intellectuals and mystics alike. I enjoy them both. Ideally, I'd like to see everyone embrace both the mystical and the intellectual. Yet both sides of that same coin can have individuals or even groups that fall into those common pitfalls. Let me just say, like, you know, I spent my younger years, probably up until 18, in more of an intellectual path. I was a Lutheran, and Lutherans, like, you know, they laughed at the fact that anybody thought that they were still hearing God. Like, we would make fun of people that thought they heard God. But then I kind of
jumped because of YWAM, Youth with a Mission. I jumped into YWAM and then IHOP and ended up this other side of the charismatic stream where they would quote, you ever hear that old quote, like, a person with an argument is never at the mercy of somebody with an experience. Or was it the right, but a person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. Essentially saying experiences trump all arguments. But then you think that sounds so great, like, oh, you're having these experiences. Well, so is everybody in the insane asylum. They're all having experiences, guys. So, and just because you had an experience, you know, I'll meet people that are like, I don't like your view of hell because I knew somebody who went to hell and that affirms my view. I'm like, bro, if you watch YouTube for like 3 hours on people's experiences of NDEs in the afterlife, they'll all tell you something different. And you can pick and choose the two or three that you like and be like, look, no, everybody had these experiences, agrees with each other. Not if you're honest, dude. Like, people with experiences disagree just as much as people with theological arguments. So that's always funny to me. You meet people, they lean charismatic and they think, our experiences are infallible. No, they're not. Or you meet intellectuals and they're like, our arguments are infallible because we use infallible logic. It's like, no, you don't. You're just a little kid playing with words and toys. You barely understand what you're talking about. Just because you can use bigger words than somebody else just means maybe you're in first grade where they're in kindergarten. You know, it's like, it's so funny, dude. Yeah, dude. So anyway, I love experiences and I love study, and I think they're truly not separated. You know, you can hear someone, they're just preaching, but if they're preaching the truth, and they might not have like a lot of woo, like feathers and gold and, but if they're preaching Jesus, it's hammered. And you can meet a mystic that's having experience with Jesus and they don't know how to describe anything, but it's hammered. Like, so anyway, we need, it's both and it's married. For me, I got like whacked before I got a lot of this stuff, but I think other people, they kind of get the healthy theology and first, but it's meant to be married. Yes, it is one. Like, Jesus is the word. Jesus is a person. Some people are like, I just want to know the person of Jesus. That's good. But the person has a message. And so we forget that, if you just want to hug your spouse and never to listen to any of the words they say, you're not going to have a great relationship, even though, yeah, those hugs may be beautiful, but at some point you're going to miss out on a whole bunch of what's going on. So anyway, a lot of glory. Let's continue. I desire that this next generation would avoid the pitfalls of both exaggerated or shallow spirituality, as well as the mere gathering of intellectual information and knowledge. True Christ life includes the joy of deep study and the ecstasy of deep experience. Woo! Anybody say amen? Plus, truly, there is no pressure on us to sustain our own progress on either side of that coin. So, if it doesn't depend on our efforts, then there is no room for pride about how much we have learned or discovered. True theology is all revealed and sustained by the living person of Jesus. True theology is also intoxicating. Those few disclaimers now having been said, you may read on with clarity, and hopefully you can now hear my heart to be absolutely as honest as possible with what I believe Christ has been revealing to me in my journey. And I hope you can come with both an open mind and an expectant spirit to chew on what could be my most favorite chapter in the book. And why might it be my most favorite? This chapter is about the centerpiece of all joy and life, the great mystery of the ages revealed, heaven here on earth, Christ in us. Woo! Shing, ding, 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 ding. And if chapter four isn't your cup of tea, well, I pray that it would be, but it's okay. It's just one chapter. Some people are more into stories. Some people want to see the Bible verses. Some people want to read the how-tos, although that's a misnomer, but it's all in there. So we'll get to it. But we're going to keep diving into High on Theology, chapter four. Shing. So now, before we really get in the meat of things, let me give one last short aside. I did mention that I want to be absolutely open about how this stuff came to me in my own personal journey. So, like I was mentioning previously, I started getting drunk and high on God a short time before a full gospel revelation came, really, it was right around that same time that I was hearing my first inklings of the good news. This is 2008 for me. Just not in the clarity of what I know it to be now, but all that to say, most of my revelations have sprung forth while in the experience of the whack itself. They dawned on me while I was in the gift of the altered state, high out of my mind. I feel that this must have been what it was like for many of the prophets and apostles of old. Not that you need to be some big shot apostle to get high revelation, praise God. I do now believe that these ecstasies must be similar to how the biblical figures had their revelatory experiences. That being said, I don't want to give the impression that I wasn't influenced by other teachers and my own personal study either. By any means, I was profoundly impacted by a number of perfectly timed voices into my life and study at the time. A simple reading of the gospel and the book of or the gospels and the book of Ephesians helped quite a bit too. Yeah, I needed to hear it resound deep in my own spirit while intoxicated on the love of God before it really settled in. In this state, the truth would ring so clear and powerfully to the depths of me that it ceased being mere information. Oh, you ever feel that when you're like, I know that I know that I know that's true. And it's just something, it was a revelation. Revelation would come springing forth out of the tangible glory presence, confirming with my study and learning. And so I began to get the whack. And God quickly made sure I was given enough understanding to sustain it. It has been a wonderful journey of discovery in the gospel and inebriation of both personal experience and intellectual study ever since. So let's get on with it. Let's explore this incredible message that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus himself really only had one main message? Jesus Christ had one message that he spoke everywhere he went during his earthly ministry 2,000 years ago. One simple message that will make us all high forever. The most jacked up message in the universe. Unfortunately, I grew up my entire life around Bible-believing people and never heard this message. Oh, wow. Not in a way that I could understand anyways, not even once. Yet this was the main thing that Jesus said to people everywhere. The main dude of the whole Bible, Jesus. This dude really only had one thing to say most of the time. He really only preached a few sermons that we have recorded in the Gospels, maybe only three sermons in total. However, according to Scripture, he had one message he preached everywhere he went. Luke 8:1, Matthew 4:17, Mark 1:15. This message must be pretty important then. Am I right? Yes, that's my point. Yet, like I had said, I personally never heard this message as I grew up in the church. How could that have been? How could we have missed it? Well, for whatever reason I missed it my whole life, I pray that no one else would have to do the same. What is this message? Oh, what is the message? Oh, it's funny. I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, every now and then, I just saw this the other day, actually. It's like, people be like, what is the gospel? And then people give like 100 different responses to what is the gospel. But that wasn't how it was in the Bible, guys. Like, Jesus preached the gospel, and here it is. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There it is. One simple phrase. Now you might be thinking, what's so intoxicating about that? Well, let me explain. It's way drunker than you might think. I'll sum up the conclusion right here, and then I'll explain the background. What this verse is essentially saying is heaven is here. Wait, think about it for a second. Could this mean that the things that most of us thought were reserved for someday, far off in heaven, those very things are here now? Oh my God. The enormous implications of this one statement. This is why we are high. When the simple message of Jesus becomes real for you, there is no way to come down. You will be high forever. You will begin to live in heaven, even here on earth. Now, the biggest problem that people have with this revelation is it seems too good to be true. It seems crazy. Learned theologians might even call it over-realized eschatology. So let me explain. I am saying that heaven is here on earth now. I know that many of you thought that the Bible was all about believing in God so that we could go to heaven someday after we die. That's the American gospel.
Yet actually, there is very little in the Bible to support that claim. Just try to name one scripture that talks about going to heaven later or after you die. It's actually hard to find that in the scriptures. It's not in there. What is clearly in the scripture is this simple message of Jesus. It's what he preached everywhere he went. Here it is again in the book of Mark, Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the verse that changed my life, guys. When I read it, it said Jesus was proclaiming the gospel. And then here it is in quotes. It's one sentence. The time is fulfilled. Ooh, even that. Just get it. Just get that. The time is fulfilled. Whoa, people talk about the fullness of the times. When is it? Well, it's when Jesus appeared on the scene. Jesus appeared and said, the time is fulfilled, ED. It ends with an ED. Oh, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. Now, even the second half of that phrase is just the response that he's encouraging us to have. But the first half is the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. In that particular verse in Mark, it says kingdom of God. In Matthew, it says kingdom of heaven. I love the slight difference in wording there because God is heaven. And heaven is God. And when we say that we are high on heaven, we're also saying we are high on God. It is the same thing. Jesus was telling people that God's original perfect world is now on earth, filled with his glory substance, restoring all things to better than the Garden of Eden. The kingdom of God is where God rules. A place where everything is beautiful, perfect, holy, joyful, loving, high, and whole. Can you feel it in your spirit? Whoa. Adrian says, we are wall to wall with Father, Son, and Spirit. I like it. I like it, dude. When people heard this in Jesus' day, they knew it was good news. The Jews had been looking forward to the day of the kingdom for hundreds of years. Their prophets had been prophesying it for generations. They knew it was going to be the high life. They just didn't understand exactly how high it was going to be. The Jewish people had become so focused on an outward and physical and political kingdom. Sound familiar? That they missed out on the fact that it was meant to start from within their own hearts. Oh, oh, the kingdom within their own hearts. Oh, Jesus. Let me see if I can get the next one. Help me, Lord. Oh, that was the same one. There we go. This is the gospel. Thanks be to God. Okay. They didn't understand the nature of Jesus's ministry. This is no knock against the Jews. People of every culture and generation have done the same thing. Every tribe, every nation, culture, and subculture have longed for something like the kingdom of heaven on earth. Where humanity is so often missed out is in understanding how this heaven was going to be brought to earth. Oh, yes, we love our how-tos, you know, all the how-tos. I was just reading one of my buddies' long posts on Facebook the other day. He's embraced Hinduism now or whatever. And his path of salvation was so long. It was like going to Bible school or something. So many steps. Oh, so much work. Jesus Christ, God himself, came to earth to clear up our confusion, to open our eyes to a heaven that is always near, springing from within. Ooh, always near, always springing. Obviously, I'm not going to attempt to give a full theological dissertation on the kingdom of heaven and its coming in this book. I do want to give, however, an overview. It's just so intoxicating. I want to give enough understanding to lay a strong foundation for the bliss. I'm trusting that you will go on to your own rich, juicy theological exploration of the rabbit hole that is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's so deep and so wide. It is the meaning of life. It's what the whole cosmic drama has been leading up to.
could even say cosmic comedy. The foundation of all of this is that Jesus would go from town to town preaching one simple message, announcing that the earth is heaven's home in the now. Now, God is ruling his planet in bliss. God's eternal purpose was that it would always be on earth as it is in heaven. Whoa, Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, but he also fulfilled the Lord's Prayer. If you're still trying to fulfill the Lord's Prayer, you missed the gospel. If you still think it's a future thing, the fullness of the times has come upon us in Christ. Jesus made this clear by his life, death, and resurrection. As we see this good news, a river springs up within us. This gospel of Jesus reveals that everything we thought was reserved for heaven someday is here with us. The nature of heaven on earth often does require some great description. Like we mentioned, the Jews, together with almost all the people of Jesus's day, totally misunderstood. Most people today are still misunderstanding. We want to be perfectly as clear as possible about what we're saying. We want to clearly reveal this scandalous message to a world that God so loves. It seems that Paul the Apostle spent most of his ministry announcing and meticulously describing this mystery more than maybe anyone in history so far for these very reasons. It says in several places in Scripture that Paul was given a revelation of this gospel that had never been revealed to mankind before. So I'll give a simple explanation, and why don't we dive into a bit of Paul's revelation? Does anybody like Paul's gospel? Oh, my Lord. Guys, I love the whole Bible, but I'll say
still it. Still works, baby.
Woo! Yes, dude, yes. Paul had a revelation that was never given to anybody else. And if you don't get the gospel of Paul, you don't get the Bible. Like, the rest of the Bible is like a foreign language until you see it through the lens of Paul. Not because he was better, but he himself said that unless you're a Jew, you know, he was your apostle anyways. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. But his message was the clearest of the gospel. Anyway. The simple explanation is that Jesus Christ in his person preserved the original design of God for a united heaven and earth, for united God and man. Jesus Christ preserved in himself the union of heaven and earth. Meditate on that for a minute. Jesus Christ preserved in himself the union of heaven and earth. At the fall of Adam and Eve, mankind forgot what life was about. We forgot that God always wanted to be with us in paradise. God always wanted heaven and earth to be together. The planet fell into disarray when the consciousness of humanity fell from reality. This caused all kinds of nasty things to happen in the world. Nasty things. Nasty things happen. Since we weren't satisfied in God, we destroyed each other and the world in many horrible, painful ways. These ways could also be called the kingdoms of this world. When Jesus appeared on the scene, however, through his incarnation, life, death, and resurrection, he revealed that God had never given up on the original reality of his design. He was still committed to being God with us in paradise. Oh, Jesus. Woo! Though we had messed up the world in so many ways, building our own dark kingdoms, Jesus had preserved the original world inside himself. Oh, he came to represent that to us and to invite us to rejoin. Hey, in fact, to include us without our permission. The Jews kind of understood this. Unfortunately, they were looking for an outful, forceful revolution to take over the planet. That type of revolution was just another fallen idea. Jesus came for something way deeper. That's why, man, politics just so annoying to me. When Christians start to think they're going to change the world by politics, we've missed it again. An outside kingdom, it's just another law. It's just another, anyway, God's kingdom is so much more than just an outward circumstantial rightness that would need to be kept by force. God's heaven starts from within. Jesus came to win back our hearts. Jesus came to awaken us to the kingdom that starts inside. Only from there could the kingdom manifest to the outward world through intimacy and spiritual union with God, moving through love to restore the world to reality. Many people have misunderstood Jesus and what he was about. He came to ravish us with heaven from within. Oy, oy, oy. Jesus came to ravish us with heaven from within. Whoa. Feel it. Just feel it. Oh, just feel it. Oh, I can't read. Help. Where did it go? He came to ravish us with heaven from within, which would then in turn, yes, move outwardly and reveal heaven to the world. This is why he spoke in the following scripture, Luke 17:20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Oh, it's at Bethel. Oh, it's at Toronto. No, wait, it's at Morningstar. No. No, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Oh, right now. Right here. There he is. Oh, there he is. Zhang, zhang, zhang. Lo. Neither shall they say lo or lo. Get low. This has major implications for us. The kingdom is within us. God's throne is within us. Heaven is within us. This is the foundation that keeps you high. I mean, just think about it for a minute. The priests of the Old Testament couldn't even remain standing on their feet while in the glory of God in 2 Chronicles 5, and now all that glory lives inside of you. Oh, can you feel it tonight? Hey, can you taste the sounds? Are you even aware of a fraction of what that means right now? That is intoxicating, for real. And that's what's so sad to me when people are like, I don't need theology. And then they start spouting all this separation that they grew up with, or all this separation message, you know, here and there. I'm like, guys, like, the you don't even know the gospel, but you don't want to hear the gospel because you don't think it's important. I'm like, dude, the gospel is the foundation. Like, you might get a little high, but you can't stay high without the gospel. You can get high because somebody else is believing the gospel. But until you know Jesus is believing the gospel inside of you and sharing it with you, then you'll just ride the roller coaster. Oh, but the more we settle in to the fact that you can never be outside of heaven, you can never be outside of God, like you can never get away. Well, you cannot get away. Oh, my God. As you become more and more comfortable with the fact that you cannot get away from the Trinity, cannot get away from his love, you're always immersed. The kingdom of God is within you. That's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. Heaven is here. God is here. His address is you. Wow. Could any street drug compare with that? I mean, could LSD or DMT even touch that? Talk about ecstasy. That's my simple theological explanation. Jesus came to announce that heaven starts now, not someday far away. We can live in it, even here, as a free GIFT. Ooh, there is no secret to unlock heaven. There is no, anyone that talks about unlocking heaven has missed the gospel. It's not locked. Unlocking, it's like unlocking a wide open gate, you know? Oh my God. It's like two angels thing. Yeah. They're like, dude, you are in. It's already here, preserved in the person of Jesus Christ inside of us. Let's look at Paul's revelation. I mentioned Paul. I mean, Paul is hammered, dude. Paul is so hammered. Paul the apostle had the clearest revelation of this heavenly reality. Many people in Jesus' day didn't understand what he was going on about. Yet Paul's eyes were opened. The man could sing in prison. Would you sing in prison? Would you sing? Would you get hammered with your buddies in prison, or even if you were alone? It says, while in shackles, for goodness sake, he had to be high.
Acts 16:25. Paul was so inspired by God, some say he took the gospel to the entire known world of his day. He actually says that. I can't remember the verse, but he's like, I've preached the gospel to the entire world. And obviously, we know he didn't really know about North America or South America, or probably not Australia, etc. But every part of the world he knew about in his day, shaka, the dude was hammered. He wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else. I'd say his revelation must be pretty powerful. Let's taste and see a little bit of the glory that Paul was packing. Just get your pipe out again for a second and just pack it with the revelation of Paul. Ooh. It's true, Knickle. He might have popped over and preached in North America. We don't know. Only the supreme leader know. We don't know. Supreme leader, he know. Okay. Let's look at the revies of Paul. Paul's message can be summed up very shortly, just like Jesus's message, in a few simple words. I picked out the choicest nuggets. The choicest nuggets. The nuggies that you could pack into your pipe. Ephesians 1:9, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of the times to unite all things in him. Things in heaven, things on earth. Whoa, do you get that? Does anybody get it? In the fullness of the times, he united all things. It's already united. In the fullness. Remember when Jesus said the fullness of the times has come? Paul also had the same gospel. Surprise! There's no secret new hidden message. It's the same old gospel. To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Colossians 1:27, another nugget from Paul. God's plan is to make known his secret to his people, this rich and glorious secret, which he has for all peoples. The secret is that Christ is in you. The secret is, what's the secret, boys and girls? Jesus in you. Why is this the most plain and obvious thing ever, and I never heard it? I don't know, dude. We're this high because we read our Bibles, boys and girls. Christ in you, which means that you share in the glory. Oh. You share in the glory. Paul wrote those words 2,000 years ago. What a powerful summary of the same message that Jesus preached. This is what Paul was expounding on throughout all the epistles. What's the big secret? It's that heaven and earth are one in Christ. It's the same Jesus Christ lives inside of you. To describe this a little more, Paul goes on in the next chapter of the book of Colossians, Colossians 2:9. In him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature, and you are in. And you are in him, made full. Oh, wow. I feel the pause, the pregnant pause on this. You are in him, made full. This is the sauce. This is the sauce. To encounter Christ is to hear the gospel. To hear the gospel is to encounter Christ. You are in him made full, having come to fullness of life. you know, life isn't about all the good things that go right or the thing avoiding things that go wrong. Life is being filled with the Godhead. The whole fullness of the deity dwelling in bodily form, being inside of us and us being inside of him.
Adrian says wall to wall. I like that. That's a word for tonight.
Just stare at this. This is the theology, guys. Colossians 2, 9, and 10. This is the meaty Christology of the apostle of the Gentiles. Just look at it. You are in him, made full, having come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head. Never forget that part. He is the head of all rule and authority and of every angelic principality and power. Paul's message will get you jacked up. You are filled with God in Christ. Remember, God's entire original high world was preserved in Christ. And now Paul says Christ lives inside of you. In essence, everything good that ever was is living inside your body. No, not only inside your body, but even the whole earth is filled with the glory. Isn't it crazy that we have been unaware of this for so long? The fall of mankind was a fall in our consciousness. It was at that point that we began to believe lies about reality. Both Jesus and Paul ministered in order to reawaken us to this amazing, intoxicating truth that heaven is here in Christ, in you, filling the whole cosmos. This is the foundational awareness that keeps us high. Paul goes on to declare in several more places just exactly what this means. Paul's letter to the Ephesians has some amazing insight into heaven on earth. Check out these verses. Ephesians 1:3. I think I say this every week. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. But by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Just say gift of God. Oh, gift of God. Ephesians 3:18 and 19, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long and high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. Paul had a unique understanding of the intoxicating gospel. While Jesus and even John the Baptist had preached that the kingdom of heaven was here, Paul described in detail what that meant and how it was manifesting in Christ. The other apostles revealed this as well in some profound ways. However, it is most obvious to me through the writings of Paul how the heavenly life has come to us. Jesus preached that heaven was here. Then he demonstrated it through his life. He lived as though the normal rules of earthly life could not contain him. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Yet there's even more to Jesus than that. Jesus Christ, simply by being alive, by being both fully God and fully man, revealed how an unbreakable union of heaven and earth. Paul expounded on this to help us grasp how this could be so. Paul described how the point of this union was spiritual first, all about intimacy with God and the Spirit. Heaven on earth starts from the inside first, deep within. Ephesians 5, 31 to 32, as the scripture says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and unite with his wife. The two will become one. And there is a deep secret truth revealed in this scripture, which I understand as applying to Christ in the church. Oh, John. Paul reveals that it's all about our union with God in Christ. Exploring spiritual oneness with God will bring so much bliss. The truest depth of the heaven on earth gospel, the love drunkenness of union with love himself, is the supreme high of all. Oh, the glories of intimacy with the divine. Woo, just put your hand on your belly to say, oh, the glories of intimacy with Father, Son, and Spirit. Oh, the bliss. Paul also reveals that this isn't just some positive thinking or an ignoring of reality. In fact, we see that being in Christ is an alternate reality or the original reality that trumps the fallen lesser reality that we created through our fallen consciousness. Paul writes about this clearly in his letter to the Colossians. Colossians 3, 1 to 4 and 11. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above. Above here doesn't mean off in the sky. It means the greater reality. It means what's true. It's actually real. Keep setting your mind on what's real. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on the higher things, the things above, not on the things that are earth. This isn't Gnosticism. It's talking about sometimes the word earth or world can mean the lie-based awareness. That's the system that we bought into. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you will also be revealed with him in glory. Verse 11 says, it's a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all, possessed by Christ, filled with Christ. All you see everywhere is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All you know, that's the greater world. Jesus is the true definition of reality, Jesus himself. What is whack? Here, Paul encourages us to keep our minds on the true original reality, aka things above, where Christ is all. This is how to stay high. Meditate on the meaning of Colossians 3. You'll come to see that Paul is not talking about denying the physical realm. No. No, no, no. Jing, jing, jing. That would be what theologians call the Gnostic heresy. This would be simply foolish. And a lot of people get stuck in silly Gnosticism, trying to get a secret knowledge from the latest guru or hero that we worship. The secret knowledge. Give me the secret knowledge. Tell me what these great spiritual truths are. It's Jesus, guys. He's the union of heaven and earth. You've got it all. He's given it all to you. You don't need to climb a ladder, find a secret door. Woo, he just said, set your mind on the things that are above where Christ is. Wow. Jing, jing, jing. Where Christ is all in all. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You see, life in Christ is another dimension that is presently coexisting with what we have thought was the true definition. But the in Christ dimension is coexisting with our fallen reality until we all wake up. That's why people say, why is there still suffering? Well, we still are all placed, you know, our awareness in this fallen illusion. The fall has been reversed. The curse is over. The curse is broken. But we keep talking about it. We keep thinking about it. We keep meditating on it. We're not looking at Jesus. We start looking at the problems everywhere. We start thinking they're so great. They're so powerful, that sin's bigger than Jesus, the devil's bigger than Jesus, etc., etc. We get all worried and stressed out. We're not at ease, therefore we start to manifest dis-ease everywhere. But Paul says, just keep looking at Jesus. Just keep, how many times in the Bible it says, look at Jesus, look at him, looking unto Jesus. He's all in all. The in Christ dimension is coexisting with our fallen reality until we all wake up. At that time, all there will be is what always has truly been, and that is Jesus Christ. Christ is all in all. Hang with me here. I know this can sound a bit strange or crazy at first, but the word above in that Colossians chapter 3 scripture does not mean in the sky or in some far off place called heaven. It means greater or first in priority. Paul is giving us the key here. There is obviously people who are not experiencing the high of heaven on a regular basis because their minds are set on the things of earth, or you could say worldly things or worldly systems or the fallen existence or the sober circumstances that Jesus already dealt with. Woo! This is not referring to the natural earth, but what the Bible calls the world. 1 John 2:15, right? No. This is the fallen subjective reality has been created only by our fallen consciousness or illusion or delusion. John Crowder had a good post about it today, actually. Should look it up. It is when we learn to prioritize things from the, oh, look, there's a typo in my book. You see that? God forbid. Maybe you have an updated version. It is when we learned to prioritizing things from the outside in, so-called independence from God. This is the non-intoxicating, non-love-drunk consciousness and the reality that it creates. This is the fallen man. Most people live in this sober, unhealthy world, but Jesus and Paul have good news. You don't have to live there. This is not the greater reality. We're not denying it. We're not ignoring it. People experience it. We're not saying live in denial. We're saying set your eyes on something greater. The higher reality is that above all of this is Jesus. Christ is the ultimate reality, the original reality, the only reality that will last. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Woo! Truth is, we're already in him and he is in us. Yet when we are not aware of that, we do not see the kingdom of God. Only those like a little child can see the kingdom. Those willing to embrace an entirely different view of reality. The good news is that it's already here. The whole cosmos and everyone in it has already been included in him. As the consciousness of the planet is made aware of this good news of Jesus, we will all be high. We will all experience complete wholeness and liberty from the bondages of the world. The world will be gloriously revealed to have already been heaven on earth in Christ from all eternity past. It is finished. It is finished. No problem. It is finished. Have you been able to follow the pattern of thought here? This theology can be quite shocking. To say it again, Jesus came to reveal, as described through the revelation of Paul and the apostles, a heaven on earth reality that flows from the inside out, yet is already completely here, existing in the alternate dimension, the real dimension called in Christ. He is the original dimension, the greater dimension. You will seem as if you are in an altered state when you live aware of his dimension. You will live in the Lord's joy, the joy of the Lord. You will be overjoyed and overwhelmed by the glory substance of God flowing together with all of heaven's virtue. The final conclusion then of this gospel revelation is this: because he is in you and you are in him now, everything that Jesus is and has, you are and have. Whoa, all that we thought was reserved for heaven is ours here and now. This means perfect intimacy with God, perfect intimacy with others. This means the ability to flow continuously in perfect, healthy relationships. This means healthy emotions. This means a healthy mind. This means love, joy, peace, patience, all the fruits of the Spirit. This means a perfectly sanctified heart and soul. This means physical healing. It means financial prosperity. It means the power of God flowing. It means endless love for all people. The list of benefits goes on and on, right? Like, was it Psalm 103? Forget not all the benefits. Study and meditate into the depths of it for yourself. In the last page, we're going to go to the last page, boys and girls, of chapter 4. What all is included in heaven on earth in Christ? Dig deeper. Especially if this sounds non-biblical or heretical or crazy or too good to be true, read the scriptures I mentioned for yourself. Go on an exploration with Papa Jesus and Holy Ghost. Could the good news of Jesus be better than we ever thought? One thing is for sure, his truth will set you free. His truth will make you higher than a rocket shot to outer space. Don't be afraid to look deeply into the teachings of Jesus. Study the writings of Paul, the New Testament writers. Their books have gotten me higher than anything rolled up into papers ever could. That's the end of chapter 4. Thanks for hanging with me, boys and girls. Yo, any further thoughts, any questions, any comments? You guys are high on the gospel. Is this not good news, boys and girls? Yo.
Woohoo.
Woohoo, bro. Woohoo. I'm telling you, man, it's so sad to me that people don't like Christology or theology. You know, I get it. Like, I grew up with a lot of annoying theologians around. You know, everybody gets this know-it-alls and they're dry toasts. It's so sad that that happened, you know. But my God. I mean, Paul wrote theology, a lot of it. There's a lot of heavy, weighty substance. And a lot of us just have never taken the time to let it sink in. And because we haven't contemplated the truth of Christ, we got all these little insecurities and the little fears that are so rattling around in there, you know, rattling around. Like, they're not based in reality, you know.
Yeah.
We got all these little concerns. We get so upset. Like, what is it, like Mary and Martha, you know, Martha, you're concerned about so many things. You're concerned about so many things. You're already in heaven. Now, I get it. Like, not everyone's experiencing that. And so we still, you know, suffer with others and, you know, we'll enter into their experience from time to time, but don't lose the gospel in that. You know, don't forget, like, by the way, that stuff is happening because of an illusion, because of delusions, you know, like that. The reason that anyone's feeling all worried and stressed out is because we're still rattling around in a fallen consciousness, in a mindset of the fall. And the gospel itself clears away the clouds. Yay. And, you know, it's not even up to us to preach the gospel to ourselves enough, you know. That is what, like, the Holy Spirit's primary job is to lead us into all truth. And so if you're ever like, oh, I keep forgetting. Oh, I can't remember the gospel. Oh, it feels so hard to remember the gospel. Even then, you can just relax. Like, be the idiot that forgets the gospel. It's okay. Holy Spirit is here. Wow. Adrian, tell us some more, bro.
Oh, like what you were saying about like suffering and stuff, like, you know, I found like you can really walk in this whack all the time. You can. And some people think you can't do it. They think life's too hard and stuff, but you can really walk in this all the time. You can if you just rest in God, you can actually endure it. You understand this, and a lot of people can understand. Everyone can walk, not just some people can walk in it. Every single believer can walk in this whack 24/7. You can do it. And like John Crowder says, the whole suffering thing is that we can have a suffering mindset, right? So we bring that mentality, that mindset upon ourselves, like the poverty mindset or the suffering mindset, and we actually rob ourselves by choosing this to swim in this mindset. But actually, we can just jump out of that mindset and jump right back into the glory mindset in 1 second. If we just, you know, you don't have to like go through 10 years of like, or 5 weeks or even 5 hours or 5 minutes of trying to get back into the glory. You're in the glory and that's it. And you like something that John Crowder said today, I was listening to his Mystical Union again today because I listen to that every day. And he said like, you're really drunk before you even start. Like, even before you even think about anything, when you wake up, you're really drunk. Even if you feel like it or not, you're totally drunk. You're so drunk that you don't even know it. It's like he said something like that on that lines. And I was just like, I listened to it this morning again. And it just made me so happy because I thought, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to work anything up today. I'm drunk already. I'm so drunk. So beautiful, man. So thanks so much. That was so powerful. That, oh, I love that chapter, man.
You know, there's so many folks that it's like, I used to know a lot of wackos that started to believe that you couldn't be that way all the time anymore. You know, they're like, yeah, that was good. It was a good season. Or they'll say, now I've realized that there's more to life. I'm like, dude, there is a lot to life. There's a lot going on. And you have a whole gamut of emotions. You can still be in the bliss 24/7. It's like, it is that, like, there's always an underlying bliss. We're not saying ignore other stuff or don't feel sad if a loved one dies or don't, like, you know, don't weep with those who weep. Do engage those realities. But there's always an underlying bliss because Jesus is taking care of everything. Because it all shall be well and all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well. Unless you lose the forest for the trees, you'll still be in bliss. Like, you can live in it. And I can just testify, we've been through all kinds of stuff over the last 15 years. And I felt whacked every single day. I'm not saying I've never, like, had a moment where I struggled or anything. I've felt whacked since 2008. I think it was really, really consistent, probably since the middle of 2008 until this day, guys. And it's nothing I've done. It was these simple revelations that we just talked about. So good. Go again, Adrian. Go again.
And my wife passed away like about 7 years ago. And that was really hard for me at first. I couldn't even face those emotions. I was like because I was just working and looking after my daughter. She, you know, being a single parent. And it was like, I was just going crazy, like just doing stuff. And I didn't even I just put everything on hold, my emotions. And I couldn't handle anything. It was like just frozen. And then but then I realized now, actually, if you've got the wrong mindset, you're going to see that whole thing wrong. But when you start having the whole right mindset, like, wow, she's with Jesus. It's fine. Everything's good. It's like, she's in such a cool place. I'm with her, even though we all connected. Everyone's connected. All our believers are connected. We connected. She's right here right now. She's watching us right now. She's having fun. She's enjoying herself. She might not be here physically with her, but it's fine. She's happy. Her body right now is in a wonderful place. She's in Christ. She's inside of us as well. She's inside our hearts because she's totally with us because we're all one in Christ. So, like, it's just so beautiful. There's such beauty in the death. It's not something, although we miss those people, we miss them, like, to talk to them, but it's like, hey, she's in such a cool place right now. And I promise you, when I started seeing that, it's like I just felt like her presence always, like, it's always with me. Even though I'm with other people or talking to other people, she's with me still, like, we all together. It's like, it's a big happy family, all the saints who've gone before us, you know what I mean? And even though, I mean, she might've had rough times as well, but I'm not worried because I know that she gave her heart to Jesus and that's enough, you know, that's all that matters. And she's with Jesus. And I just know she's, before I always doubted because I was always like thinking, man, it was up to us, like our performance, our perseverance, yeah. But no, it's his perseverance through us. It's him doing it through us. So there's so much rest, and it was such a hard thing because, like, death, when someone dies, it's really hard. And, like, I couldn't even face it. I was, like, traumatized. But the trauma is, like, pulled off. But it wasn't pulled off the way I thought it was going to be, like, by facing it. But it was actually by not facing it and actually getting a revelation of Christ. And that actually set me free by facing Christ and going through and all those things. And when you see Jesus face to face, that's when you start being able to face anything, any heartbreak, any disappointment in your life, any despair. You can face it all when you face Jesus. Once you see in Jesus' eyes and you stare into his eyes, you can face anything. Take that check and withdraw your take that check to the bank and withdraw. Take it with have your cake and eat it.
Bro, thank you so much for sharing that, man. I that's really powerful, and I think that's the thing. It's like you grieve at the same time. You don't grieve like the world grieves. And I think that's such a weighty, like, revelation in there. And it's such a weighty revelation that, like, when something difficult, something horrific can happen, you can still face Jesus. I love that. It's so funny that people think that the gospel only works when nothing in your life ever goes wrong. Like, did you even read Paul? You know, like, read Paul. Knickel, what do you want to share, bro? Good to see you here tonight, buddy.
Yeah, man. Jesus was showing me today that like well, I kind of have language right now, new language of from what he's been showing me today. Like how the gospel is not an add-on. Like we're not because sometimes we add it on because that's what I was doing. I didn't even know I was doing that, but he showed me today that I guess I was doing that, you know, my lesser unawakened self, even though I am awakened, but I should say my religious self, because my religious self was like thinking, okay, I have the gospel, I've seen Jesus, you know, I've seen it, it's all finished, I've experienced it. And then sometimes when I'm not experiencing it, I almost like use the message like in my mind as almost like a jumping jack, you know, like I need to experience you now, Lord. So I'm gonna think about the gospel and I see you. I'm seeing you, Jesus, in order to experience you. But it's like, no, I'm already seeing him somehow. It's all already there, you know. It's not that the gospel like gets you that. It's like, no, it's like we already have it. It's like
Yes.
so it's like it kind of like Jesus kind of pushed the delete button in my soul today and like how I was misapplying the gospel, you know, a means to an end.
Yeah, to think we even have to apply it. That's a good point. I think that's where people get stuck too. And like, I gotta say it, I gotta hear enough messages, I gotta think really hard. How it's like, no, it's already true. Like it's already happened. It's done. No, that's so good, bro. That's really good. Whew.
Yeah, because I was trying to get healed of things. And I've experienced the healing, you know, and then I catch glimpses of not being healed, and I'm like, okay, so I gotta look at you harder or something, Jesus. But it's like I just end up noticing again that I already am healed, you know? So it's like it's already there. It's all yeah, I don't know, it's crazy.
It's like Godfrey said, the truth is true before we believe it, you know. The truth is already true.
We're not hungry, it's just you.
Whew. Adrian, what do you got, bro? I love hearing you.
Like when you're in churches and stuff, you're always trying to, okay, I gotta do this so I can get this from God. Like, okay, I gotta just if I can just do this, I'll get that one thing that I really want in my life. I'll get that dream, that American dream, or whatever you're looking for. I just got to barter with God right. I just got to deal with him right. But it's not even that. It's like just lose when you lose that, you're not even worried about that anymore. You just like so, you just see Jesus so much. He is the reward. Like if we make the other things the reward, okay, then why were we even we're just using Jesus for like something to get something? But when we see that he is the reward, he is the total. When you're just so in love with him, he's the center of everything. He gives you all those things. But he is really the center of everything. He's the ultimate, and he makes everything worthwhile. Everything that has meaning only with him. The meaning comes from that intense love that he has for us. And it's not even something we produce. It's not something we can religiously, but that we because so often we can use God, but we're not using God in this situation. We just saying, God, I'm just gonna like see that you are the actual reward. You are the cake. You are the icing, the cake, the finish. We're not. It's not you to get some to somewhere else, to get to some new place, to get to some okay new missionary group thing that we're going to do, some achievement or something or some goal. The goal actually is just you. You are the goal, Jesus. You're the goal as well. Yeah.
The whole enchilada, the icing, the cake, the platter, the table. Is anybody else feeling supremely inebriated right now? I see the whole Dutton family there, all hammered, all jacked up. Mama, Papa, and all the babies. Oh, how are you guys drunk driving? Where are you guys going?
Yes, we were driving intoxicated. Maybe we should switch seats.
even
more and more.
We've got Monica and Alex and them coming up tomorrow for the weekend, so we're gonna partay.
Yeah.
We just went and got a bunch of supplies and
surprise
food. So now we're going home.
Come on.
But I encourage you all to look people in the eye and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. And I got to say that to this lady, and she went from drunk on the world to drunk on God in 1 second. And I said, do you want to know the mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Ditto. I dittoed that. I approved of his message.
Yeah,
you said it to Audrey. You said it to Audrey. Drunk on the world. Now look at her.
Look what happened. Oh, my
been
Lord.
Drunk on Jesus for a long time. Glory.
We saw on Friday, I'll just tell a little, one of my favorite little evangelism testimonies was our friend Jill at Grilled Jesus on Friday. Was like, she was just such at ease. She's just was testifying that she's been at such an ease with sharing with people now that she realizes like there's no pressure. There's absolutely no obligation, that she's been so set free to like want to share. And so on Friday, she just went over to this table of people at the park where we were making grilled cheese. And she just started talking to them for like an hour. And she's like, I had no agenda. I was just like there being their friend. And they just ended up feeling the glory like more and more and more until we were just laughing and laughing and laughing, and everyone was laughing. And they started making phone calls, and somebody called and said, what's going on over there? And then they were all just laughing to the person on the phone. And this is a Mexican couple, and the person on the phone goes, is that a white girl with you? And it was like, we were like, I'm pretty sure it's because he thought you were like so drunk that you were like white girl wasted. Have you ever heard that term? I just thought it was so funny. Like they were so whacked, and she got to share so much with them, and they really experienced Jesus. And they're like, we're going to come back every time you guys do this on the Fridays. And it was just, I don't know, dude. The whack just starts taking over, you know? You guys have experienced it. You just go to a restaurant or you go somewhere, just the whack starts taking over, boys and girls. So anyway. And what we shared tonight is really, it's the mystic secret that enables it. You know, I've just seen this time and time again. I've seen it over and over, guys, where people will experience the bliss at a conference, or they'll experience the whack because they're around you. But if they don't get the message, it's like it only lasts so long, or it comes with so many like bumps in the road, so many challenges. But then when they get the message, like when this Christology gets rooted in their heart, where they realize they're not separated. You cannot be separated from the glory. You cannot be separated from heaven. Like you can't, you don't go in and out of his presence. You don't, your life is not good and then bad. You know, you're not blessed because you did some better thing. When you really get this message that like heaven is yours for free, unconditionally, because you're in permanent union with Jesus, when this sinks in as not positive thinking, but the eternal gospel passed down from ages to ages, like, and this gets rooted in your heart, it's like a million other little issues get dealt with, and you're able to just live in joy and bliss forever. Like the glory just comes over you wave after wave as you wake up in the morning, as you fall asleep at night. Like, doesn't mean you don't, you know, have a trial or a struggle here or there or something, but it's so solidifying. And so that's why we wrote chapter 4, and just so, yeah, so rooted in there. Holy glory. Yeah, a couple more comments. I see Adrian and Kinnickel. I love hearing from you guys. And anybody else, and we'll just do a few closing comments here.
I was just like, today I was getting that all day, what you were saying now. Like, since I woke up this morning, I just got the words, no separation. Like, it was just like, clear, crystal clear, like the Holy Spirit just saying, no separation, no separation. Like I was just hearing it like in five dimensional, like heavenly, like dimensions. And it was like, I got this like thought, it just kept on coming in my mind. Like, why do, cause I kept on thinking, why are there so few that are just drinking of the vine that aren't so drunk all the time? Why are they just a couple? Why aren't they like, why isn't all the Christians just drinking like this? Why isn't everyone just drinking like this? And I just realized they're stuck in the intellectual gospel. Like it's in their minds. They know about it. They think they know about it, but they've never actually got the revio, because only the heavenly revelation that comes from heaven, where you actually with something, God switches on something. It's only God who switches on that. And when he switches it on, just enjoy it, you know, but and rest in it, because it's like, it's not an intellectual thing. It's not something you can figure out. It's not something you can like, and I just realized there's a total difference between like knowing something by revelation and knowing something in your mind that's, you know, it's true, but you don't really know it. And you got to actually just rest. You just got to enjoy it. Go to Jesus, because he can open our minds and open our hearts to really see that revelation. But when you get that revelation of it, it's like, you can't lose it. It's something that's forever. It's like, it's something that you're not gonna ever budge from it when you get the revies. Once you get into the real revelation, you're not gonna want to be satisfied by just mere intellectual knowing, and you're gonna go for that real stuff, the real stuff that satisfies you. You're not gonna ever go back. There's no ways back. It's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good, man. Yeah. Yeah, Matt. I was wanting to ask, since we're on the topic of theology and the whack, I was wondering about gospel thoughts, like living gospel thoughts. Because yeah, you were saying you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with someone and not like hear what they have to say. So like maybe you could elaborate on just like the living gospel thoughts and maybe some of your own experiences or whatever, because that is where we stay whacked, you know, where we see what's on his mind and we're on his mind and Abba's on his mind. And it's like this living heartbeat, I guess, or something like that. Right. And I don't know, like, what do you think, man?
Yeah. Ooh. Absolutely, man. There's a flow of living revelation every day. Every day, whoa! Like if this is just something we're reading in a book, we've missed the point. You get to hear their voice inside your body, rising up inside of you from the deepest places, just popping out everywhere you go. Little confirmations. You actually get to know the one who's wrapped us up inside of himself. And it's everywhere, you know, just like Adrian said, it was like today he just kept hearing no separation or something, you know, like I have so many of those little experiences all throughout pretty much every day. Something will drop in, or you just feel this little wind, or you just, something will bubble up and you're like, that's Jesus. There's Jesus on it. And what's so sad to me is that there's so many prophets that love to emphasize the prophetic movement or like, you know, charismatics, and then they'll start telling you their words, but it'll be about it'll have distance and delay in it. You know, it'll be like, oh, if you do this, you'll get this breakthrough, or God's really moving you into a season of favor. It's like, okay, cool, but that's not the gospel. The gospel says you're always in a season of favor. So you hear these people that are like claiming to be speaking from God, and unfortunately, you know, they're not flowing, you know, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So I just hear the testimony of Jesus. I don't just read about it, but you can feel a prophetic flow in your reading, you know, and we've done sessions and we'll probably do more sessions in the future on like what it's like hearing God's voice and having not just wisdom, but the Bible talks about spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, you know, so which is just noticing God speaking in all kinds of little things and big things. And I think one of the biggest reasons we miss that is because it's so ever present and so integrated into our daily life that we're like, that can't be God. That's just my own thoughts. Or that can't be God. That's just my friend said something, or, you know, that song just came on the radio randomly, or I just felt this breeze or something. That can't be God. It's too, It's like, yeah, because he's in everything. Christ in all, you know. So, but it'll always confirm with the eternal gospel. That's why Paul even said, if even an angel from heaven comes and tells you a message other than this, he said, let him be accursed. You know, so it's so funny to me that people think just because like a theologian like Karl Barth said something that's not what the mystics and the charismatics are going to be saying. Like, there's not going to be an agreement between this whole thing. It's either the gospel of Jesus or it's false. You know, so anyway. But yeah, I mean, I've got so many little things where I've heard Jesus say this, that, or the other thing. It's like, it's so integrated now that I don't even use thus saith the Lord. Like, I'm like, you want me to list every thus saith the Lord? I'm going to be like, thus saith the Lording everything. And then it sounds strange, but like I hear Jesus so much every day. I hear Papa so much. Yes, dude.
So your mind, your mindset, like your theological grid, it just kind of like, I know it's a living because you're a living person and, you know, God's wind is on your mind all the time, but you're kind of filtering what you hear. And obviously it won't even be a filter then. It's not even a filter because it's like, you have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like living theology, man. Whoa.
Yes.
Crazy, bro.
It all integrates together, you know? Yeah. It becomes blurry, but if it's not heaven on earth and Christ union based, then I'm just like, boom. But yeah. Who else? Who else had their hands up?
God bless.
Before you started saying all that, I told John, I was like, yeah, we can just say we're not Christians, we're Christologists. It's like you're just seeing Christ everywhere. That'll perk some ears.
Yeah.
that word's drunk.
Doxologist. That's something Eric used, right? Eric Wilding's band is called the Doxologists. I always like that. Hammered. Adrian, tell us again, bro.
One thing that's confusing, though, for a lot of people, especially like us guys who like meet here, we know a lot of people and a lot of preachers that are really good preachers that are anointed, that are powerful, and they really move in the spirit. They even move in the drunken glory. But they just preach a slightly mixed message. And it's like, it's weird that God still loves everyone. He blesses everyone. He's still getting them. They're so anointed. They're so good at getting people drunk even. But it's like they just like a mixed message. And it's like so weird because they just change their message a bit to resonate with the grace and the gospel. There's so much more powerful results as well, because like what happens is if you mix grace and you start mixing it with like a delayed message it's like that there's something wrong. There's something you lose. But even though I mean, God will still bless you like radically in so many areas of your life. You'll be so blessed, but you'll see that there won't be that. There's something more. And the more is actually just walking in that 100% grace. Like John Carter says, if you put a little bit of poop in water,
exactly.
You don't want to drink it. It's not going to be good. You don't want to drink even that one little drop of poop. It's going to get you. don't drink the poop water, you know. Just stay with the 100% clear grace stuff. And
yes.
Don't get into the... Like, that's where so many people go back. They get pulled, sucked into back into that mixed message, and you got to stay with that 100% pure message. So I've decided I'm not going to mix with that. I'm not going to mix with that message that takes me. I'm going to stay with the 100% pure message and people that hang around that message, that pure message, pure water, pure spring water, 100% spring water from Jesus. Yeah.
So good, Rob. That's real, my dude. Yeah, you know, it's a challenge for a lot of us because as 95% of the body of Christ doesn't seem to be resonating with this message yet. And you don't want to like be these lone rangers that like separate from everybody. So you try to like still be everybody's friend. And plus they do have gifts. Like you're saying, I think one of the most confusing things that that I've seen people get sidetracked in is like, you'll meet these people that have incredible gifts from God and they're so anointed, but their message is not the gospel. And because the gifts of God are not dependent on your behavior or anything, even what you believe. So God's just giving out his gifts to everybody. And you meet these people that are so gifted. And unfortunately, especially in the charismatic world, the people with the platform are not usually the people who's got the right message or who are living healthy lives or who have a lot of fruit of the spirit. The people on the platforms in the charismatic world are the people that are the best talkers, that have a really powerful spiritual gifts and are like type A personalities. Like it's more about, yeah, like it doesn't validate their character, their life, or their message. So you got all these people, but even most ministers, like I would say 90% of the ministers I know, they're not there because their life was so fruitful. They're not in that position. They're usually in that position because they're alpha people and they were really, you know, or, you know, they have some special gift. And so we gather around all these people that don't even know the gospel, and then maybe their lives are falling apart behind the scenes or whatever, but just because they have the shininess, they have this, you know, whatever it is. And then we're like, why are we confused? You know, but like this person's got such a healing gift. Well, you know, the healing gift does not validate anything else. It's just a gift. It's just like getting a new motorcycle. Just because a guy has a motorcycle doesn't mean like his life is in order. Doesn't he knows anything. So, but it's just, you know, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. But I'm excited, guys, about a people that integrate the gospel in with all these goodies. And yes, flow in now words of anointing with revelation and healing and are wonderful at all the different stuff. But it's the first and foremost, you know, Paul said it's about the gospel. It's first and foremost. This is the foundation of life transformation. There's a reason Jesus preached the message. And I think some of you guys already, you're able to prophesy. You guys are becoming the change that we want to see, right? We're being that change right now. You are demonstrating a different way, and you're gathering little communities of people, you're gathering little groups around this message, and you're prophesying over each other, and you're giving now words, and you're healing the sick, and you're raising the dead, and you're like, you know, you're enjoying all this new stuff, so that we're not complaining about the old thing. Yeah, the old thing is confusing, and it's mixed, and et cetera, et cetera. We're a part of something new. Yay! And we can still be friends with all those people. I just say, watch your tipping point. That's what I'll often say. Like, if you notice yourself getting confused or sobered up, getting into striving, like maybe withdraw and go drink, go be around the greenhouse so that you just stay whacked. You know your own tipping point. You know when you're sobering up, when you're getting back into works, when you're getting back into religion, when you're getting back into rebellion, when you're getting whatever's happening. Just keep drinking the pure, unadulterated gospel and be around the mixture as much as you can tolerate, you know, whatever. Because we don't want to withdraw and just become our own, like, better than little group in the corner. But this message matters. Staying rooted and grounded so that we can be that change. You feel that? Whoa, do you feel it? Rooted and grounded to be the change. Yay. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him. Let's just thank him. We'll go over more questions on what is whack, and you know, we'll finally answer all the questions coming days. But let's just enjoy as we kind of wrap it up here. Just have another. If you got your communion, maybe. Another thing I love about the communion table is that it's beyond understanding. There's a peace that passes all. I'm going to pass around the peace pipe that passes understanding. The body.
More.
Have another. Ah. just lean back. Just lean. Lean back. Just heaven is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. He's taking care of everything. Everything. In his body and blood, the whole earth is abundantly supplied. The Kool-Aid of Christ. Jesus is the Kool-Aid man that broke through the walls of our delusion and said, oh yeah. Spirit speaking to you tonight, what Papa's saying, what Jesus is saying. I just see Jesus whispering into some ears right now. Sweet nothings. He's whispering the sweet nothings. Somethings. So good to us. Love you guys. If you're blessed by this, you want us to keep doing it, go to thefirehouseprojects.com, click donate. Why don't you come out to some of our parties we got coming up? We're going to be in Harrisburg. If any of you can make it to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, June 21 to 23, it's going to be a party. Going to revel in the finished work with our Pennsylvania friends. Just mark your calendars, it's coming up. We're going to be in Scotland at the end of July if you want to come out. Glory in the Cowshed. I don't think I have a flyer for it. We'll be out in Scotland. David Hewitt, Maggie, Rachel. Paul Golf is going to be there if you guys know Paul. He's going to be drunk. Some of you are going to be there, I believe. We got all kinds of fun stuff. We're doing Kainos Koinonia in September, the Dutton's place. God bless. God bless. We'll be out there. I think I got a flyer for that. Where did I put the flyer for that? I know I have a flyer for it. It's going to be drank. That's usually our biggest gathering of the year, where people come from all over, and we meet in person. Those of us that are used to just hanging out online or, you know, doing community at other places, we come together, we party. Here we go. September 12 to 15 in Ponca, Nebraska. Woo! New Creation Community Parties. Come on out. It'll be fun. We got all kinds of good stuff coming up. So go to thefirehouseprojects.com. So is Shig. Come out, party with us. Come visit us in Fort Wayne if you want some time. We love you all. Good to see everybody tonight. Woo! Cheers. Jesus Christ is the whack.